Welcome to SuccessfulSavior.org, the ministry of Harmony Primitive Baptist Church in Donaldson, Arkansas.
It is a blessing to be with you today. One place that I've never been, and certainly my children have not, and they experienced that maybe for the first time a few weeks ago when we were traveling over Easter weekend. And so I'm hoping to get them used to and even excited about going to a place where they don't know anybody. And y'all have done a wonderful job, I appreciate it, of helping them realize that that's a blessing and not something to be dreaded when you are going to a place where the Lord's people are.
Right. Amen.
I will just try to follow up a few thoughts from God's Word, from what Brother Kennedy preached to us this morning, and the central command that I want to address this morning, or this afternoon, is found in James chapter 1, and it reads in the last verse, 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So I want to focus on this last phrase, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And Brother Kennedy really inspired us to see from the scriptures what a chief place, the chief place in our hearts, that Jesus Christ, service to Jesus Christ, and therefore service to His kingdom through His church, what a chief place that must be in our lives. Not one of the things that we do, but the top priority. He has given all, and He calls us to give all in His service. So to keep yourself unspotted from the world, but as Jesus said, "I'm not calling you out of the world," as He is praying to His Father, "I have called them to be in the world, but not of the world." That's a very difficult challenge.
Yes.
And we need the wisdom of God's Word to guide us to do this well. So let me read a passage in Ezekiel 37. Because I want to try for a few minutes to go to the foundation of this calling that I pray will help stir up our pure minds to this effort. In Ezekiel 37, let's begin in verse 21. It's hard to cut into context, but we're going to do it. "Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God." Now we'll continue that in just a moment, but let's pause and, with the Lord's help, be astounded at what God has just told His people through His prophet. This is that there's a passage in Deuteronomy that the reference does not come to my mind immediately, but God reminds Israel, He says, "You were not special. This is not why I chose you. You were like everybody else." In other words, just as bad as everybody else.
Right.
"But I have chosen you so that you would be special for my name's sake. This is what he is declaring here, and he is not he's not putting their sin under the rug. He's not covering it up and saying, "Ah, we'll just forget about it." But he's giving them a big picture reminder of what he's doing with the children of Israel. He's saying, "I am calling you out of the world. I am giving you my name." Now, there's a year's worth of sermons and study right there, the holy and jealous name of God. The scriptures make abundantly clear that God is jealous of his glory. He's jealous of his name. This is why the first and the second commandment is, "You shall worship me only, and you will not have any other graven image." He's jealous of his glory. If you had a precious possession and you had to go away for a while and it couldn't be with you, we'll use a human situation, you would not, but it needed to be kept. You wouldn't just give it to John Deere down the road, would you? You would give it to someone that you knew would take care of it, that would treat it the way it was worthy of being treated, that would protect it, that would give to it the same attention that you would give to it when you had it with you. Well, how much more astounding is it that God would say, "I have my name that is high above every name, that is glorious above every other false god, and I'm going to give my name to you." But what this does in reality is the reverse of what it would do in our situation. What it does in reality is, by giving his name to you, he causes us to be a special people. Right. Now let's finish this text and then we'll move over to the New Testament for a couple of passages to help fill this out. Verse 24, "And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe or obey my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever." David is long gone. Clearly, the one who God is calling up to actually take the charge of his name that he is putting on you to identify you, he's not just leaving it in your hands after all. And we should really sigh a great sigh of relief if we care about God's glory, because we know that we are so frail and full of sin. But he has called up one who will be the one shepherd over all these people that will have his name. And it shall be forever. And this is the seed of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore."
Amen.
Now, there were times, there were some glorious times in Israel's history where the Lord was sanctified among the heathen. But if you just look over the course of the period of time, there was a lot more, there were many more years where his name was not sanctified among the heathen, and he was more like a laughingstock because of the way Israel was behaving. But we see in the new covenant that God is instituting through his Son that he is once and forevermore, for a certainty, going to establish a people who will indeed be the light of the world, that will indeed be bearing His name in a way that honors Him. Amen. And now we can just rewind and insert Brother Kennedy's sermon, because what we're doing today is that work.
Right. That's right.
So let's turn to 1 Peter 2, because the Lord Jesus Christ had to do a work to accomplish this, so that it would be more than just the work of the law externally among a people, which Paul shows very clearly in Romans was a great issue. It wasn't because of the imperfection of the law, but because of us. But Jesus Christ comes, and He executes the law to the jot and the tittle, and He executes it as in the stead of, for the people that God has called. So listen to these words in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's difficult to find a place to begin here. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, previously spoken of this morning. A chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded or ashamed. And put a pin in that, and in just a minute we have to fill that out. Unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The stone was set, but those who were ashamed of Him, He was as a stumbling block. They tripped over Him in their unbelief. But those who are believing in Him, they're not going to come back and say, well, Jesus really wasn't all He was cracked up to be. I'm ashamed that I ever identified myself with Him. Never, never. You will not be confounded. So listen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Do you feel holy today? Do you feel like you are that you would say, I am holy like God wants me to be holy? We're full of sin. But this is what God is doing. He has called you, as this finishes, He has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, the work of Christ is to bring His people, who He has called and given His name to, and bring them to a place, an end, where they are forever. We might use terminologies that we use today, representing, because He has fixed His name to them, the name of the Holy God, and they're doing it beautifully. And this completed picture is, as we know all too well, is not until the Lord glorifies every single one of us, and He has completely purged out every last remnant of sin within us, which Christ has already paid for and justified us from. And what we're doing today is the work of coming into that reality that will finally be true. Titus describes this, Paul describes this in his Roman letter. And that's the prize. That's the prize, that we are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so when we think about the blessed teachings that we heard this morning, we are not just to be another option in the world. What's the descriptions that Jesus gives in his sermon? He says we are to be the light of the world because we are, within us is him, the light, and we are to be the salt of the earth. So those are two examples. Our lives are to be remarkably distinct from a worldly life.
That's right.
Because we are bearing the name of the thrice holy God.
Amen.
It's a privilege. Yep. It's a privilege that's by grace, and it's a huge responsibility.
Right.
It's the kind of responsibility to which Jesus would say, if you will follow me, if you'll bear my name, you must just make sure I'm in the top five. No, you must completely forsake yourself and take up your cross and follow me. I have to be the only one.
Amen.
Now, a church that is at least moving in that direction, right, because we don't feel like we're there ever.
Right.
But a church that's focused on this, and this is the driving force behind a body of Christ that has arms and legs and feet and appendages, and that's the conscious goal of the church moving forward. That's a church that's going to be sanctified by being identified in Christ.
Amen.
By receiving the Word and bearing fruit from the Word. There's some wonderful content that we won't go into because I want to give away to Brother Kennedy in Brother John's epistle concerning by faith overcoming this wicked world, so that we are not just like the world, but we're actually living in a conquering way over the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And we're doing this through faith that has its object on Christ, from which we are receiving the power of grace to live by faith and not by sight, to live in a way that sees the glory of Christ as our chief desire, instead of by sight, which is, well, take your pick, all the lust of the flesh and the pride of life that might entice us to seek glory in anyone else, including ourselves, besides that of Jesus Christ. So it's by faith, a wonderful gift that helps us fulfill that which God has called us to do. I hope that encourages you and helps refine your focus. And what are we doing here? What is the purpose as we go about obeying the Lord Jesus Christ in honor of what he's done? Can I lead us in prayer? Lord, I pray that you would take this word and the word that we're about to hear, that you would implant it deep within our souls, that it would bear much fruit to your glory and honor. And I pray that you would minister to, hold up, teach, and protect this congregation here, and bless it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to SuccessfulSavior.org, the ministry of Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.